my debt-free millionaire zealots. It's so great to see you today. This is a continuation of our debt-free millionaire podcast and personal finance course. That's right. We have a financial course in a book that is available. Well, at least it will be in the next few weeks. But we are providing this podcast so we can actually walk you through each step as you go. So you're not just looking at a book and drowning off and falling asleep. No. We're actually going to walk you through each part so you can enjoy the travels. But today we're going to be talking about something that everyone likes to hear, and it's about your dreams. Not what dream did you have last night? No. It's not what horror did you have? What nightmare did you have last night? No. It's about what is your dream for the next 5, 10, 20, and 30 years. Maybe I should even say 40 when you retire, or around that time, because that's when most people retire. What is your dream? Now, the way that we used to say it is, what is your American dream? Now, the American dream, the standard one, was where someone had a two-story house with a white picket fence, kids in the front yard, and a dog and a cat. Great. That was the American dream a little while ago. Now, a lot of people still have that American dream, but a lot of people have actually changed that American dream to be a lot different. So some people might say, well, I don't want a house in the suburb. I want a condo. I want a condo. I want it in the city, and I want to be in the big rise, the high rise, and I want to be able to look down on everyone else. Now, that might be someone's dream. Great. Some might actually have the dream to be single. Not everyone. That's a very small portion. But there are some people that want to be single. Okay? There are some people that want to have, be married, but no, have no kids. Now, I would hope, I'm just saying this, I would hope that each couple would have at least 2 kids. And why is that? Because we need to keep the population up in the United States. Because again, if we don't keep the population up in the United States, there's no Social Security. There's benefits will go away because the amount of money that we owe in our debt and to other things will not provide for all those in need. And so we'll actually have to increase taxes. The more people we have, and I'm not saying huge amounts, we don't have to overpopulate, but the amount that we have or that we can have needs to be at a place where we have a steady amount of people being born as much as people getting people dying. And so this is basically just replacing everyone with other people. So makes sense, right? Okay, good. So, but your dream has to do with what you want, not what I want for you, not what your parents want for you, not what teachers or anybody else wants for you. It is what you want for yourself. Where do you see yourself in the next 5, 10, 20, 30, and even 40 years? We actually put this out in the book early on. We actually wanted you to write down your goals. Now, these goals may have changed as you've been listening to this. Again, this is the week 5. You've made it through 5 weeks, well, almost made it through 5 weeks of Debt-Free Millionaire. And this will actually keep going for a long time. This is just one book. After we're done with our personal finance book, we're going to bring you through real estate and teach you about real estate and all the odds and ends of every part of it. So let's go back to, what is your American dream? Now, my personal American dream was to have 20 acres of land, a house on it, have energy efficient everything, and having basically not off the grid, but sustaining myself if I needed to be. And so this allows me to have this desire, this dream, this goal to reach towards. And so today we're going to be talking about something that has to do with this American dream. And it is actually, let me bring it up. Wait for it. What is it? That's not that one. It's that one. Home ownership. That's right. Home ownership is what we are working towards. Now, again, this might be a condo or this might be a house in the suburbs. It's up to you. But I wanted to let you know that this is obtainable. Most people these days are thinking that it's not obtainable anymore, but it is. It is so obtainable. And we're going to help you to get that, to obtain that, and not wait 10 years to be able to get it. We're talking about 1 or 2 years to be able to get that. But the first thing you want to decide is this big question. This is a big question everyone needs to decide. Is the next slide. Are you going to rent first? Or are you going to buy first? Here's the thing. There's two things you need to be well aware of when it comes to renting or buying. Look at your savings. This is number one. Look at your savings. Is it low or is it high? If it's high, great. You might be ready for buying. Now, what's your debt? Is it low or is it high? If it's high, probably not a good time to buy a house. And why is that? It's because you already have a high amount of monthly expenses. Every monthly expense pulls you away from that home ownership because you're only going to be able to afford enough so that you can pay your monthly expenses and your mortgage. The mortgage company will actually look at this. They will not let you borrow more than you can actually provide. Now, some may say, oh yeah, you can do this. You can rent, or you can get this large mortgage out for this large house and be able to pay for it. But the problem is, most mortgage companies do not want that to actually happen these days because they're too afraid that you will foreclose. Especially with the mentality that a lot of people these days have, they can walk away and not worry about it. But truth is, that mortgage company, if you walk away from your house, they will destroy you financially. And it's very simple how they do it. They basically just report that you foreclosed on a house. That means rentals will actually look at your credit score and why you have that credit score. And if they see that you weren't able to pay for your mortgage, they're not going to rent to you. They're not going to rent to you because they don't know if you're going to be able to pay your rent. People that are going to let you borrow money or a credit card, they're not going to let you borrow money because they don't know if you're going to actually pay your debt back. So this is a place where you actually want to be prepared before you buy a house. Do not just buy a house because, oh, my mortgage company says I can do it. Don't do it. It is not worth it. Renting is very essential for especially that time. Now, there's two different mindsets when it comes to buying a house. One is the Robert Kiyosaki way, and one is the Rich Dad Poor Dad, the Robert Kiyosaki way and the Dave Ramsey way. And then there's something in between. Now, we're teaching you the in-between. You can go more towards Robert Kiyosaki, or you can go more towards Dave Ramsey. We're going to give you the best of both worlds so you can actually make the decision of which one's better. The way that Robert Kiyosaki says is that a house that you own and live in is not an investment. It's a money pit. You will lose money by buying this house. Okay, so somewhat he is telling the truth. But somewhat, I'm going to help you so you don't actually have to worry about that. Now, his trope is that instead of buying a house to live in, rent and buy a house to rent out. Because you're going to make more money by renting it out than you will by living in it. It's totally true. It is true. If you buy a house for yourself, or if you rent a house for yourself, the same size, it's actually better that you buy it. Because that big house is going to cost you just as much as the mortgage. And I'm going to walk you through all the steps underneath. Now, if you're going to buy or rent a small place and buy another place, doesn't matter the size, and rent that out, that's great because that'll allow you to get continual revenue coming in. This is, again, the multiple legs of the stool. Like we were talking about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. We want you to be able to know of where your revenue is coming from, where your income's coming from, and have multiple streams, multiple places that it's coming from. And one of those could be a rental. So renting is great. Now, as I've told you my story actually yesterday, my house is paid off. That means everything that happens, all the accruement in value goes towards my equity. So I actually, my house value goes up. I have more money to pull out of that house. It's fully insured. So that rental, or the, sorry, that house I own, even if it burns down, I will rebuild. And because I'm a contractor, because I know the trades, I can actually build it even better than it was now. So, hey, this is great. Now, here's the thing. Before I go into everything else, I just mentioned you're going to be paying insurance. If you pay renter's insurance, you'll be paying about $100 a month, give or take. If you're going to pay, no, $50 a month. If you pay for home ownership, now I have three cars and one house. My monthly expense for insurance is over $550. And that's with one of those cars being fully replaceable if the insurance, if something happens to it. The other two are only on liability, which means it only takes care of the person that gets hit or that has the accident with me. They'll take care of that person. So this is a big question. Do I buy or do I rent? Now let's walk through some of these things. Okay. So there, okay, before I go into who's right. Oh, let me tell you about the Dave Ramsey way. Dave Ramsey way is pay off your debt and then buy a house. Or you know what? Maybe you don't have to pay off all your debts, pay off the majority of your debts and then buy a house. Now, Dave Ramsey would actually prefer that you don't buy a house until after you pay off your debts, which is okay too. But this is where we're going. So you have pay off your debts, buy a house. That is an investment for you. You have the Robert Kiyosaki way is don't buy a house, buy a rental and rent it out to someone and then rent a house, rent a property. Okay. So two different ways of thinking about these. Let's go through the facts of both. Okay. So first off, let's go to this is done by a mortgage company. So what are they going to do? Oh, they're going to tell you why it's so great to buy a house. Advertisements, not the best place to go and get information about owning a house versus renting a house. They don't want you to rent a house because they want to make money off you, as is the capitalist way, which is great. They're supposed to do that. But if you go through this, they say over 5 years, buying is $40,000 advantage over renting. Okay. But the way that they put this together, look at this. They say cost is, and this is for a, they don't actually say the price of the house. Okay. So I guess cost of the initial buying is $111,983. Renting is $91,500. Now, they should say, they don't. Okay. So we don't even know what the parameters are. One, oh, here we go. It's way at the bottom. There you go. It's a $225,000 house. So this is for a $225,000 house. This is monthly payments in total over 5 years. And also your initial cost for that house. You paid $111,000. They paid $91,000 towards rent. Now that is fairly accurate. Okay, property tax. You also paid $23,000 for your property tax. Okay, so that's a good amount. You now are paying about $40,000 more than if you rented. Look at this. Home value appreciation at 2%. Now 2% is fairly good. At times you have actually seen higher than that, but at times you actually have seen lower than that. When I got laid off in 2008, you saw lower than that. If you're expecting to stay in this house for at least 5 years, it might be an appreciation that you might want to take advantage of. Tax savings, 15% interest and the property tax. Okay, so if you go by the standardized deduction, which is in your taxes, we'll talk about this later. This is the deduction everyone gets. Every single person in your category gets the same deduction. If you go by that, which I do because I don't have a mortgage and I don't have enough in donations and everything else to put me over the standardized deduction, everyone gets the same. So it doesn't matter if you have a mortgage or you don't have a mortgage. You all get the same exact deduction. But if you are above the standardized deduction, you can actually take a tax savings from your mortgage. That is 15% of your interest and your property tax is written off. Now, even if you're not paying paying for your house, say it's paid off, your property tax, yeah, you get a tax deduction. Doesn't matter if you have a mortgage or not. So you don't need a mortgage to do that. But 15% of interest. Now, think of your interest. Your interest starts off very large. So this is the whole pot that you owe or every month. This is the amount that's interest. And as you go down many years, it'll start getting less interest and more principal that it's paying for. So in this sense, it's saying in 5 years, this is the amount that you would have saved in your taxes, $8,000. Okay. So the total equity increase due to principal reduction, this is how much you pay towards your principal, would be $28,000. So in the end, total expenses was about $60,000. That's taking all these benefits out of what you initially paid into that house. Well, the person that rented spent $91,500 because they got no equity out of that house after they left. Is this true, though? Is this advertisement true? No, it's not. It doesn't show the whole example. And this is Robert Kiyosaki's main argument about this. Here's another one. This is from another. Oh, actually, I think the first one was a mortgage company. This one's a lender. Okay. So rent and insurance for 1 year, $1,580. Wow. That's a really low rent. Okay. Rent and insurance year nine, $2,000. Okay. So it's basically saying this is how much it would be monthly over your, for the first year. And then by 9 years, you're going to be paying that much in rent. So total rental expenses, $196,000. Now, I don't know exactly where these numbers come from, because in this one, it doesn't actually say at all. It really doesn't. So next it says buying. Based on historical data, the longer you own a property, the more you gain. Not what I'm going to show you, what you should do, but that's theirs. Cash flow gain, cash out of pocket. Okay. Cash out of pocket, that's how much you pay cash out of pocket. I don't know where this actually comes from. Yes, and I am showing you this because I'm going to show you where advertisements do not actually give the full picture. This one is the most obscure that I found. This is why I put it up here. Principal reduction gain. Okay, principal reduction gain. I'm trying to figure out what exactly that means. Okay, and then appreciation gained. Now, this is over how many years? Is it over 9 years? Let's see. No, this is 10 years. Out of 10 years, appreciation gain, $154,000. Okay, so net total gain, when the renter basically had zero gain afterwards, you had $175,000, $937. So, again, this is obscure because it doesn't give you any information. Some would actually say that this advertisement should be flagged because it doesn't give you all the parameters, but it has this rosy glasses being pointed right here, letting you see that, oh, I'm going to make $175,000 if I stayed in my house for 10 years. Baloney. Baloney. Totally baloney. Okay. Now, I'm going to show you this one. This is really interesting. This is the medium monthly homeowner's cost. So this is how much a homeowner spends every month on their house. Now, again, this does not actually say what it's based on. This is an average, but this is back in 2017. Think of this, everything doubling. By 2017 to now, nearly everything is doubled. So here in Missouri, the average person on their homeowner's cost, so this is like their mortgage, is now paying $2,400 a month. California, they're now paying above $4,000 a month for their house. You can't buy a house for under $500,000 in most places in California. In Missouri, you can't really buy many places under about $200,000 that is in fine quality. So something that is actually like you don't have to do any work on. This back here was how much I would have paid on my house that I paid $100,000 on and walked away free and clear, had no mortgage after that. So I never had to pay for a mortgage at this place, but you can see $1,200 here. Cost of living in Arkansas is actually a little less. Oklahoma, a little less. So you can actually see that these places that are in lighter colors are actually better for cost of living when it comes to homeowner costs. Again, these are some things to think about, but here's the actual numbers. Okay, and again, this is 2022, so things have changed. Now, this is on a $200,000 home. Closing costs, this is $2,000 closing costs. Okay, this is $1,000 deposit. Mortgage, $1,315 per month. Rent, $1,315 per month. So everything's equal. Homeowners rental insurance. So per month, this again, 2 years ago, things have gone up dramatically. not double, but fairly close. So $104 a month versus $75 a month. That's not much of a difference for insurance. Replacing parts in your house. Okay, this is the big part. This is Robert Kiyosaki's play. Now, in a house, you're going to have a lot of different things you're going to be paying for. If your furnace goes down, you're going to pay for it. If your hot water heater goes down, you're going to pay for it. Your AC goes down, you're going to pay for it. Any kind of upgrades to your house, you're going to pay for it. Your roof leaks. Yes, you have insurance that will cover that, but you're still going to pay your deduction, which is probably about $10,000. Well, it's going to be about 3% of your home value. So depending on the size of the house, think of 3% of that. That's going to be the amount that you're going to pay in your deduction, the average deduction. So total spend over 30 years. Now, these are actual numbers. These are numbers. Oh, sorry. Replacement parts. I only put a minimum of $50,000 over 30 years. That is if nothing happens to your house. Everything always happens to your house. So if you were to sit in there for 30 years and only had $50,000 of repairs, you're doing so well. Think of more of about $100,000. So let's say $100,000. Either way works great. So if you're a renter, you paid zero. The owner pays. So in the end, owning a house, you paid $562,000. Renting a house, you paid $501,000. Okay, 501 versus 562. So you only saved, in 30 years, you only saved $61,000 by renting. Now, here you go. After inflation, the house value, the $200,000 house, is now worth $384,000. Now, again, this was the last 30 years, not the now 30 years. If you were renting a house, that doesn't matter. It's not your house. You don't get the money. That 30 years of paying rent just paid off the owner's mortgage. Now, you actually have $384,000 value in your house. You decide, hey, I'm going to lose this, or I'm going to sell this. Okay, so how much you spent minus how much you would have gained by selling it means that you lost $178,000. The renter lost $501,000, still lost $501,000. The difference between owning and renting a house, $323,000. Now, again, this is the part that he was talking about. And also, I didn't actually put in here, I should have put in here, is also your property tax. Your property tax is going to be about $2,000 to $4,000 a year. So let's add in there your property tax. I don't know why I didn't put it in there, but now I'm telling you about it. Property tax, what it would have done. So let's say low end, $2,000 times 30 years. That's an extra $60,000. So now drop this by $60,000. How much did you make? You still made $260,000, $263,000 by dropping that $60,000 worth of property tax. Now, most likely your property tax went up over 30 years. So let's just say $100,000. And let's do $100,000 here. So let's say you lost $150,000. You still gained how much? $173,000 by owning instead of renting. But let's go over some of the things like replacing parts. Again, and this is also the difference between renting and buying based on the number of bedrooms. So overall, your monthly mortgage rate is at $1,800. If you had done a studio apartment, you'd be paying about $1,400 for something. For renting is about $1,400. And this is back in March 2023. The medium rent for one bedroom was $1,600. Again, your mortgage was $1,800. And for a two bedroom, it's $1,900. So sometimes rent is actually higher than what your mortgage would be. But here are some of the things that can go wrong. As I said, your hot water heater could actually go out of service. If that goes out, you're paying about, if you can do it yourself, $500 to $1,000. If you're paying someone else to do it, $3,000, $4,000. Furnace. Your furnace goes out. If you can replace this, great. You're going to have to do a lot of work. And this is actually one of the ones I won't touch. So if my furnace goes out, I'll bring a professional in here and I'll pay about 10 grand for a furnace. But that's only one part of it. Whoops. Let's go here. If I was to replace the AC unit, yeah, I'd be paying another $10,000 to $20,000, depending on the size and depending on all the different parts. So in here, you see these two pipes going in? This is what you call the AC coil. This is where the coolant from your AC goes in, runs through, the air's blowing through, so it's being cooled down during the summer. And because it's being cooled down, and then has this other one that allows the warmed up Freon to go back out to the, the insulated one is the cool coolant, and the hot coolant is the one that's not covered. And so by doing that, by having your AC coil running, if your AC on the outside is being replaced, your AC coil inside may also need to be replaced. So they're all different parts and pieces. Let's try another one. What if your roof leaks? Yeah, the insurance company will pay for it, but you're still going to pay like $10,000 for your deductible or more sometimes, maybe even less sometimes. So it depends on your insurance, where that is. But this, it's not uncommon if your roof fails, which is why you do want to have it replaced when you need it replaced. Now, here's the funny one. Here's something else that you don't think about when you're buying a house compared to renting. What happens if a friend comes to visit? Oh, nope, not here, not yet. This one is if your foundation cracks. Yeah, foundation work can be costly. Again, if I put piers underneath my foundation to hold it up, and those piers go all the way down to bedrock, and I have a company having to come back out because it didn't fix one of the sections that they put these piers in, but that cost me over $10,000. I think it was a total of about $12,000. So that was quite pricey altogether. But what if a friend comes to visit and he wants to get inside your house? Yes, this is an actual picture of a raccoon trying to get in your house. It's not just raccoons. Birds, bats, possums, anything can try to get into your house and create damage. Look at these little young ones. Oh, they're so cute. And they're so destructive in your house. Yeah, these guys being in your house, think of a lot of damage and replacing all the stuff that they destroyed, cleaning it out, and then putting new insulation in its place. It's a lot of time and a lot of effort. This is what happens when you own a house. There's things like this that you actually have to do. What if your basement floods? I don't have that, but that's another one. So these are our three little friends that want to finish this conversation. In this buying a house versus renting a house, you really need to understand where you want to be before you buy a house. So renting is very valuable. There's some other things that are very important as well. Now, if you're a single person, do you need a big house? No, you do not. You could buy one, but no, you do not need one. And you're going to be paying more to do it, to buy the bigger house. If you are, say you're married and you don't have any kids, do you need all those bedrooms? No, you do not. So those are things to think about. How many rooms do you actually need? For your American dream, again, this is your dream. How many bedrooms do you want? Because how many kids do you want? Here's another one, square footage. A smaller house is going to be less expensive. A bigger house is going to be more expensive. Right? Makes sense. Totally. Okay. But the more that you, the bigger your house, when it gets to a certain point, it doesn't matter about the size of the house at that point. It's the square footage of the house, the value per square footage. Now, in Missouri, we pay about 100. Well, this is again 2022. I really need to update these. But it gives you the value. And as you know, a lot of the values do not actually change until 2 years later. So this is about the time that I need to update this. So I'll be updating this before I send this out. But in Missouri, comparably, we pay about $142 per square foot when buying a used house. California, you're paying about $286 per square foot. And that is double. That's just over double being in Missouri versus being in California. So where do you want to live is another question. Where is your job? What do you want? Here's another part. Backyard. Do you want a backyard? Do you want to do things to your backyard? Are you okay with not having a backyard? And are you okay with living in a community, like an HOA, which is a homeowner association? They run the community that you're in. Do you want them to be able to dictate what's in your front yard and even what's in your backyard or what your fence is like? This is up to you. What do you want? If you live in an HOA, you're most likely going to be paying more money for your house. Also, bathrooms. How many bathrooms do you want? Age of house or your apartment? So these are questions that you want to do. Sorry, I should say age of your house or your condo. Again, do you want to rent it or do you want to buy it? The best way of doing it is right in the middle. So Robert Kiyosaki way, Dave Ramsey way, I'm going to teach you the right in the middle, but I'm not going to go over it. If you want, so read this chapter. This is a very important chapter when it comes to figuring out what you want for your dream home. And if this is your dream starter home or your dream next home. This is not your dream home in 10 to 20 years. This is the next home that you're going to buy in the next few months to a few years. As soon as you get your savings up and your debt low. So go through this book, go through this chapter. There's a lot here. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about being intentional with a house. There's a lot more to do with the house. This whole week is about houses and buying houses and such. This is why we start off with vocabulary and my story. And we're going through how to buy a house, but also know that we want you to be able to make those steps when they come the right way, being prepared for them and not being house poor, which is what a lot of people are when they go into a house and think, oh, I'm going to have this investment under me. Well, again, if you don't know how to fix some of the things that are in your house, you're going to be paying a lot towards the replacement or repairs inside your home. Remember, that was $50,000. We upped it to $100,000. If you don't know how to do these things, you're going to be paying a lot more than that if something happens to your house and no one knows exactly what's going to happen in their house. So be cautious, be thoughtful, and as we're going to be talking about tomorrow, be intentional with your house. We want you to walk into this American dream knowing exactly what you're getting into, feeling well prepared for what you're getting into, and again, being able to be debt-free as soon as possible so that you can become a millionaire and hopefully become both a debt-free and being a millionaire. So if I haven't made you a zealot yet, stay tuned. We're going to have you back for more insight into personal finance. We're going to bring you back into real estate. So if you have not subscribed, subscribe now. Even if you're waiting till the real estate part comes up, it will only be a few weeks and then we'll be doing real estate. And we're going to walk through all the ins and outs of real estate. Those things that the gurus that you pay $10,000 or $20,000 to, we're going to tell you all of it for free because this is a podcast. So subscribe, like us, give us a comment. We want to hear what you think. So please listen, enjoy, and then respond. Let us know what you're actually looking for. And maybe we'll do a bonus episode for you and what your question is. So our email address, I said I'd give this out in a little bit, but it's adebtfreemillionaire@gmail.com. Now, we're not actually giving out our main one because it's our company one and it will fill up quickly because there's a lot of spammers that listen to these kind of shows and then grab the email and throw it on there. Gmail is the greatest way to sort out those people. So, also, you can go to our website, which will be up just fairly soon. And its name is, get ready, debt-free-millionaire. We want to stress every single one of those. We're going to teach you about debt because so you can become debt-free so that you can become a millionaire. So debt-free-millionaire.com. Thank you so much for joining us on this Debt-Free Millionaire podcast and personal finance course. We'll catch you next time. These guys will thankfully not be here next time because I never want to have these guys in my house. And I know you don't either. Actually, little quick trope. I was talking to one of my programmers, again, with Zogos Gaming. And he actually told me that he had to get possums out. and he got one possum out and was able to find a few of the babies. But that mom kept coming back, and he actually drove it like 2 miles away. It found its way back, most likely actually to reclaim the rest of its babies. And he wasn't going to the roof, tearing up his whole ceiling, because it was between levels. I think he's renting. It's between levels, and he wasn't going to tear down his ceiling just to find those babies. So those babies will probably die there. And I feel sorry for him, but yeah, we don't want these little critters in here. So to be humane, if you're going to buy a house, check out all the entrances to your roof and between floors. And if there's a place that a raccoon might be able to get to, or a possum may be able to get to, or a bird, or a bat, or any of these people, or sorry, any of these animals, we don't want them there. We want to keep them safe and out of our house. So in that sense, when you buy a house, make sure you check the exterior, that nothing can get in. And when you're buying a house, especially, you do not want to buy a house with raccoons in the ceiling. Also check for termites. And there's so many more things I could talk to you about, but that will come. It'll come where we're going to teach you how to be a millionaire, hopefully debt-free. And we're going to teach you the ins and outs of real estate and other investments. So stay tuned, subscribe, and keep with us. We'll talk to you later. Thank you so much and have a great day. Bye.